podcast where two people read something and tell you about it.
It's a new concept.
Welcome to Inchworm,
a podcast in which we will be inching through Worm. I'm Jenny.
And I'm Ted.
And Ted, what is this Worm I've heard so much about?
Worm is a really, 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 really long web serial about a girl who gets superpowers. Specifically, she has the power to control bugs.
Well, that sounds cool. How long is it?
I believe it is over 1.6 million words.
Yeah, I did know that. I knew that before I signed on for this podcast.
And as you might...
see how it goes.
As you might have guessed from the title we chose for the podcast, we will be going through this very long work very slowly.
Yes.
Covering it one chapter at a time.
As you may be able to guess at this point, Ted has read this before. I have not read this. So Ted, you mentioned that this is very, very long. This is obviously a big time investment. Why Worm? Why this podcast?
So here's the thing. You cannot in good conscience recommend that a different person than you read 1.6 million words of a story, right?
Okay, hang on. You've definitely told me to read this story.
Right. But so a much, much better way to get people to invest in it is to have them gradually, over time, listen to you talk about it on a podcast. So one of the main reasons is just so that people that I know hear about Worm and are interested in it, and maybe some of them will read it and enjoy it as much as I have. And it starts out, the chapters are pretty short, so you know, like, I'm hoping that some people will be lulled in with a false sense of security, and before they know it, they've read, like, three novels worth of Worm, which is, to be clear, like, a very small fraction of the total word count, and before they know it, then they're also completely worm-pilled and along for the ride.
I expect this will happen to me, yes.
But more seriously, I read Worm maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I keep thinking about it. I'm still interested in talking about it. I'm so excited to actually sit down and reread it. So this gives me a chance to go back and experience it again, and now knowing everything that happens and see it all kind of come together. Certainly, if you spend so much time getting involved in something, it's going to stick with you. But I think the reason that I keep coming back to it is full of super well-realized characters that have very clearly defined and different points of view.
That's really hard to create.
Yeah, and it creates this really, really well-realized world. It's also an incredible feat of storytelling.
Wild Bow, the author of Worm, wrote it 2 chapters a week for 2 years, publishing live on his WordPress. So the version that we are reading is that original first draft, minimally edited. And Wild Bow is a gardener by nature as a writer, so kind of had some characters in mind, had a direction in mind, but basically continually writes his characters into a corner, has them come up with amazing ways to get out of it, and actually builds to a very, very satisfying conclusion over the course of the 1.6 million words. So while, you know, it's kind of impossible to recommend something of this length, I can almost guarantee that if it seems like your thing at all, it will absolutely be worth it and that the ending will pay off in a major way.
I think that's the big thing that sold me on reading this, the idea that the ending is really satisfying and feels like the correct size and scope for something of that length. I feel like so many serialized things in general, like TV shows particularly, are prone to this, just really fall flat at the ending. And I'm really excited about seeing someone pull that off.
Yeah. The ability for an author to be able to do that from a position, like gardening his way there, is simply incredible.
Yeah,
and not like something that I've seen before. And the ending is so good, it makes it worth reading it, you know, before it's traditionally published. Especially because, who knows, maybe you know, embrace the rough draft. It's good enough that people are still talking about it more than 10 years later.
I'm really excited. So I do a lot of writing, and I'm very excited to see and talk about this work that was published, you know, a few chapters a week and just sort of published, like posted as it was written, which is a really challenging thing to do. It's really hard to conceive of a work this massive and just post it as you go and not have the benefit of going back and revising and all of that. So one thing that Ted had said to me about this, like, I don't like unhappy endings. I don't like, you know, tragic things happening to characters. And so Ted's been a little worried, like, oh no, is Jenny going to enjoy this? But what you said to me is that you know that if I get to the end, I will feel satisfied with, you know, the thing as a whole. And I feel like that's what I need to get me through it. Like, I'm okay with dips. I like my angst with a happy ending. And I don't know that it'll be a happy ending, but I think from what you've said, it sounds like it will feel worth it and satisfying.
Yeah. I'm going to say satisfying. I'm not going to... don't hold me to happy.
I think this size of story, if it were happy for everyone, that would probably feel fake at that point. Like, it makes sense that it will be a complicated ending.
Yeah. And without saying more about what the stakes of the story are, it's hard, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
We'll get into it. Also, Wild Bo is still writing to this day, publishing two chapters a week when he was writing Worm and basically hasn't stopped. He has gone on to write Pact, Twig, Ward, Pale, and Claw, bringing him...
So I'm sensing a pattern in the names.
Absolutely, absolutely.
sort of like, not quite abstract, but like a little bit like vague one-syllable words that are somehow evocative.
Yeah, all four letters, some of which
all
begin...
All four letters!
Some of which begin with the same letter.
As each other.
And are set in the same universe.
Okay, yeah. He's got a thing.
He's got a thing, yeah. But so the point is, he's been writing... Worm, at 1.6 million words, is actually... not his longest work.
Oh my
it
God.
Is one of his shorter works, which is, in addition to being the work that made him so popular online, it's also a good starting point for that reason.
Wow. Some people are just very prolific, and it's very impressive.
I'll say two other things that are a little more superhero genre specific.
Wild Bo clearly loves superheroes, loves comics, and has come up with creative superpowers that make sense and that challenge his protagonists to use those powers creatively. So there are some like Superman-esque heroes that really, you know, they can beat people up and they're invulnerable and that's kind of all there is to it. But most people have a power like controlling bugs that actually requires some creativity to use it effectively.
Yeah.
And so watching individual capes and even more so teams of capes figure out how to use their powers effectively, and the like competence porn of that is one of the absolute best things about Worm.
I just realized something that I want out of this the story. I really want her to get a bug sidekick. Maybe it'll even be a worm. Like,
amazing.
One bug that she develops a relationship with.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll look out for Wormy, the bug, the
exactly.
Worm sidekick.
Exactly. Slimy, the worm from Sesame Street.
So another superpower-specific thing. The superpowers that people have are all tied, without getting into spoilers too much, they're all tied to their particular personality and experiences that have happened to them. So it's sort of like superpowers as a result of trauma. And that theme makes it endlessly compelling to think about, why is this character the way they are? Like, maybe what happened to them? Or, you know, if this superhero existed that has this set of powers, like, what kind of experience might cause that? And so the way the powers work is just super interesting to think about and very character-driven.
And I'm pretty sure, like, people have been, since 2013, posting, like, a weekly Reddit thread that's just doing those
nice.
Thought experiments, right?
This is reminding me a little bit of Buffy and the whole, like, high school is hell metaphor.
Yeah.
And, like, there's one episode, a girl becomes invisible because she's ignored by everyone. And that's,
exactly.
Like, that's the kind of power, yeah.
Exactly.
I would also like our listeners to know... When Ted and I got married a couple of years ago, we gave gifts to our wedding parties. And one of the gifts that Ted gave to his groom's folk was a flash drive containing the entire text of Worm. So clearly, this is near and dear to his heart. And I'm really excited to share it with you.
I'll just put in a plug. In case Wild Bo ever hears this, Wild Bo, you got to know, I would have bought them each a full set
of the like 20 books that would be on a shelf. I'm not kidding. If I could have done that instead of just downloading it from WordPress and putting it on a custom-made ebook, I would have done that. I do want to say one other thing. Another thing that Wildbow does really well that is just like catnip to me is he writes from multiple points of view that genuinely feel like totally different people.
Nice. So
we'll hear more about the our protagonist shortly, but you don't just get her perspective. You get the perspective of her friends and allies, maybe some of her family members, but also her enemies and random people in this world. And those interlude chapters from different people's perspectives really feel unique and different and exciting. And so that's something that I love in fiction, and Wildbow does it really well.
Nice.
But now that you have agreed to go on this journey, I'm curious, what have you picked up about Worm over the years or from kind of your own experience with the text?
Okay, so I did read the first few chapters. I mean, it was probably half a dozen years ago. I don't remember a ton of detail. I know that our protagonist is a girl named Taylor. I remember that in the first few chapters, she was making herself a like super suit out of the silk of Black Widow spiders. And she had like this like area of like several blocks that she would go around, and she was controlling the Black Widows in this area and like getting them all to make silk until she had enough to make a like superhero outfit for herself, which like what a cool starting idea. Like amazing. I remember she was getting bullied in school. And then I think she, like, goes to some kind of superhero fight and uses her insects in it. But I don't remember a lot of details about that. So that's about what I've got.
Yeah,
I think she has a dad. Is that right?
That all tracks. Okay. I can confirm Taylor's dad.
Nice. Okay. I know that there are a lot of other, like, supers in the world. Like, I think it's, like, known that supers, I mean, I want to use the word superhero just because that's kind of like the word in the zeitgeist.
They call them capes.
Capes. That's a great word for it. I mean, that woman from The Incredibles would not approve. So the capes, I know there are a lot of capes. I feel like I've heard over the years, like you and our friend Claire, who's read it, like mentioning the names of them, but I don't remember any of them and like some of their powers. Oh, and I did know the thing you said about the superpowers being based on trauma. I feel like I've heard you saying, like our other friends who've read this, talking about how the powers themselves and the applications of the powers are just really, really interesting.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. All right, so moving into kind of more specific questions and predictions.
Yes, okay.
So you read a little bit about Taylor. She's getting bullied in school. She controls bugs. What on earth could possibly happen in the next 1.6 million words of the story? Like, where do you think this is all going?
Well, probably most of the story is not about her high school bullies. I assume that's just like a beginning segment. Could be wrong. Maybe they become the primary antagonist. That would be fascinating. I do think she'll use her bug powers to somehow bring her bullies, like, I don't know, give them what they deserve. I suspect that won't go well for her.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, sicking a bunch of bugs on people just seems like it's gonna result in problems. And I think, I don't know if this is from what I've read or from what I've heard from you and other people, the fact that her powers are controlling bugs doesn't really go that well for her in the super world.
In what sense?
Well, I mean, it's kind of an ominous power, like I said, with the Black Widow suit. Like, it seems kind of evil. Like, I do have the sense from, like, hearing you guys talk about it that she doesn't want to be a villain, but she kind of gets pushed down that path. And maybe she's more of an anti-hero. I don't really know where she falls. I suspect that will be a key part of the story. Like, how does she navigate the line between good and evil? So I don't think this is something I know. I think this is just what I'm inferring from that understanding, is that the establishment of superheroes is going to be called into question. And I know, so this is what, 2011 to 2013, I think you said?
Correct.
So that moment in our cultural understanding of superheroes, like that was right after Dr. Horrible. I think that was around the same time as like Despicable Me and Megamind, these movies that are kind of like, what if the villain were the real like kind of underdog hero? And the heroes are like these, they're kind of like the man and you got to fight them. And so I think this is probably going to play into that a little bit. Also because that's interesting, right? Like the powers that be are perfectly good. Like, where's the story? So I think that's right, going to be right. A part of it. This was also before the MCU, right?
But at least before the MCU became completely big. Took over pop culture. Yeah. Right.
This hadn't been influenced by the MCU. And that's going to be fun, I think, to sort of dig into that, like, you know, over a decade ago, a snapshot of how we were experiencing superheroes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think despite the fact that we are now in so much more of a, like, superhero overload compared to when this was written, I think it's unique and has stood the test of time, or like will still be interesting and novel and hasn't been.
Right, it's not like the MCU stole all its ideas.
Exactly, exactly.
I do wonder if, it's one of the things that the MCU did, which I actually don't really like, but one of the things they did was strip away the idea of the secret identity of the superhero. Mm-hmm. And I really love that aspect, sort of the hidden, the double life, the idea that like, okay, you seem like you're a normal kid or a normal person or whatever going through your life, but actually you have this higher purpose that makes you so much cooler. And it's also this burden and, you know, maybe it's hard to keep up with your normal life, but you have this excuse because actually you're doing something way more important. And that combination of like obligation and freedom, like always really appealed to me. I've always loved like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Ted and I made a podcast with our friend Gray about Animorphs, which is one of my top book series of all time. And I loved the way they had to keep their struggle secret. And so I wonder if that's going to be a big plot point, whether Taylor's trying to keep her identity secret from the public, from her father. Like, I feel like there are a lot of levers at play here.
I will say, unlike the Animorphs, which is a middle grade series from the 90s, Worm was published with an adult audience in mind. And if you go to parahumans.wordpress.com, the website where you can read the serial, you will see Wildbow goes out of his way to make it really clear that this work does not have content warnings, but that is because there would be a lot of them.
Okay.
And I think there is a link to kind of see stuff in detail. But yeah, it's this is a superhero work that tries to be realistic with the consequences of what getting into fights with superpowers would mean. So there's a lot of violence and a lot of sort of horror adjacent content.
And I assume sex with bugs.
Lots of sex with bugs. No, no. Like a
Wait,
lot
is that
of,
why it's called Worm?
Like a lot of American media, a lot more violence than sex in this work.
Okay, I guess. I guess.
So, yeah, but you were going into kind of what you expect or what you were hoping for from Worm.
Well, I've gotten the sense from you that it's going to be quite an ensemble cast, so I think we're going to care about a lot of people's plights other than Taylor. I hope there's going to be a lot of, like, friendship alliances, you know, breaking and coming back together.
Yeah, definitely. And Taylor's story ends in a satisfying way, but I would say that's true for all of the secondary characters and many of the tertiary characters that Wildbow comes up with. It truly is an ensemble
wow.
cast.
Yeah.
And
okay.
It delivers on at least all the threads that I was hoping it would deliver on.
Is there a lot of fan fiction about Worm?
Oh, man. Worm fan fiction is a whole thing.
Okay.
There's a lot of fanfic about Worm. The non-fic enjoying parts of the Worm fandom would characterize the Worm fandom as people who read about the first 20% of Worm and then based all of the characterization off of sort of sustaining that vibe and set of circumstances
okay.
indefinitely.
So this is like the Avengers fandom where we all watch like the 2012 Avengers movie and then we're like, oh, they're a team of six and they're going to be this great found family that stays together forever and they each get a floor in Stark Tower and these are the characters and that's what we wanted out of the MCU. And then it turns out that wasn't what the MCU was.
I think very similar vibes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There are some strong headcanons for the characters that, you know, I won't spoil, you may or may not develop them yourself, that are pretty different from canon.
Okay. Are there characters that you ship? in Worm.
Yes. Though I will say it is not...
It's not very shippy.
Romance is not one of the main focuses of the story. I would say it reminds me a lot of A Song of Ice and Fire, in that Wild Bo, like George R. R. Martin, is really interested in complicated relationships. And so the relationships that get fleshed out tend to be not like squee shippable because there's usually some element that makes it psychologically more interesting and sometimes more uncomfortable.
But I bet there's some really shippy fic out there.
Absolutely.
I'll read that later.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a lot of...
In 5 years when we finish the podcast.
Taylor and her team of capes polycule fic. I think that's a very common... Everybody living in Stark Tower, it sounds basically right.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Paracule?
I like Paracule. It's a good fic name.
Thank you.
All right, so another question to draw some predictions out of you. Why is it called Worm?
That's a good question, because I would claim, and perhaps... this book will disagree with me, I would claim that worms are not bugs. They're not insects. I mean, they're obviously not insects. Insects is actually a technical term. It seems like she controls bugs, since spiders are included there, and spiders are also not insects. I suspect, because powers are based on trauma, that her ability to control insects is not so much like based on scientific categories, but based on like the scariness of bugs, the kind of creepy crawly aspect. In which case, I guess worms count, but like for me, they've just always been in a totally different category. I wonder if they'll be like, I assume there'll at least be some thematic reason why it's called Worm. Like, maybe she's made to feel like a pathetic worm, or, like, I don't know, maybe does Worm become, like, a superhero, a cape name for her? I don't know. Does she try to worm out of difficult situations? Is it just really warm where she lives?
If you could control bugs
and
worms, would you call yourself Worm?
No. That's a terrible name.
Ooh,
it's
all
me,
right. Well,
Worm.
We better hope. So, okay. We might have to reconsider this podcast to see.
I'm now just picturing the like Richard Scarry like apple with the worm coming out of it, which is really cute. So that's a pretty good image. Maybe we'll use that as our logo or something.
Love that.
Steal that.
What name would you pick?
Wow, putting me on the spot here. I mean, I guess Black Widow is taken. The first thing that popped into my head, which is a terrible name, because I mean, I don't even know what it means, is insect aside.
Insect aside.
I don't know what that means. It's just the first pun that, I came up with involving insects.
Unfortunately, that's like what Taylor's sidekick's name is, right?
Insect aside would be a great name for a sidekick that Taylor doesn't like.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's like, why would they pick that name? Then they'd be killing my insects. That's so rude.
I can't play this game, but like, what about like Bugster?
I was thinking the Bugbear. The Bugbear is actually what I would go with.
Amazing.
Because it's like a scary thing that would come at you. And it's also someone who kind of bears bugs, carries them, brings them with her.
All right.
Yeah, the Bugbear.
I love it. The Bugbear. That's amazing.
This whole series is going to be called Bugbear. I'm going to go back in time and change it.
Do you have any other questions? This is your chance to grill me.
I'll never
try
have another
and extract,
one. This is my only chance.
Extract spoilers, commentary about Worm.
Who is your favorite character?
What's their name? Who is my favorite cape name or real name?
I don't care. Cape name. That sounds more interesting.
Tough to pick anyone other than Tattletale.
Okay. I can see how that would be tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Tattletale.
But there are a lot of good... I think I reserve the right to change my mind pretty much every episode.
Tattletale's power is the ability to look at you and know the worst thing you've ever done.
Not far off.
Okay,
I mean, honestly,
cool.
Not far off. Okay, final predictions, and I'll give you a prompt. The first set of chapters, an arc, if you will, is called Gestation.
Okay. I mean, you'd think she'd be a lot younger in that, but okay. Is there like a caterpillar and a cocoon metaphor going on here? Is that, I guess there'll probably be a lot of various bug metaphors, won't there?
There may or may not be bug metaphors.
Can't confirm.
And even some worm metaphors, which, as we've established, are different
than
bug metaphors.
I suspect, at the end of the gestation arc, she is going to, like, burst forth in some way and become known to a broader community. I think she will suddenly come into the spotlight in a new way at the end of the gestation arc. So in the middle of this arc, she'll be, like, learning things, like, because I remember she hadn't really entered the cape community, like, she didn't know any other capes at the beginning. But so she'll be meeting people, learning how things work, getting better at her powers, and then something will happen such that she's brought to the attention of more people. And probably that will result in trouble for her. This seems like you said, is the kind of story where they're constantly ending up in scrapes. So it's going to be careening from one disaster to another. So, yeah, probably she'll be brought to maybe public attention, maybe Cape Society attention, something like that, in a way that is not great.
Excellent predictions.
Oh, thank you. I'm certain they're all entirely correct.
And I think we're almost ready to wrap up. But before we go, Jenny, how can people follow along with the show?
Well, I am, of course, the expert on reading Worm. As I mentioned, we're only planning to do one chapter per episode, which means this will take a long time. Should be fun. It also means we don't have that much to cover in each episode, and we are planning to summarize it really thoroughly. So if you don't want to read along, you just want to listen, that's totally fine. If you do want to read the text, it's available at, what is the website, Ted?
Go to parahumans.wordpress.com. Read the first chapter. The chapters, they start out short.
It's and to by pull
the time,
you in.
By the time you get hooked, you'll be reading 5,000 word chapters, 8,000 word chapters, 10,000 word chapters, begging for more. But guess what? There is more. There's a lot.
It may feel like it will never end. And I also understand that even though this hasn't been published through traditional publishing, there are audiobooks available.
Yes. Wildbow, whose real name is J.C. McCrae, has authorized several fan audiobook works. So there are two that have been fully completed and a full cast audiobook that I really like that only goes through the first few arcs so far, but I believe is still in production. So we'll include links for all of those things. Would strongly, strongly recommend reading it or the full cast audiobook. And from what I've sampled, the complete audiobooks seem like they're pretty good quality too.
I'm so impressed that the audiobooks exist. Like, it really says something about this work that people care about it that much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 1.6 million words is a lot of words to read. I mean, out loud. It's also a lot of words to read as a book. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so Ted, anything else we need to cover before we get reading?
I think that's it. I'm so excited to start reading.
All right. Inch along with us, everyone.
Worm is a web serial by J.C. McCrae. You can read Worm at parahumans.wordpress.com and support the author at patreon.com/wildbow. Follow the podcast at inchwormpodcast.com on Tumblr and on Blue Sky.